Let's begin our lesson this morning in John chapter 21, and we'll read verses 15 through 17. John chapter 21, and beginning at verse 15. John 21, verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these other disciples? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. There are a lot of lessons that we can learn from this passage that we have here in John. This morning we won't take time to consider, at least at length, the Lord's great grace and wisdom in restoring Peter after Peter had denied the Lord three times. And the Lord kind of reminds him of that failure. Peter denied him three times. Jesus asked him three times. And remember, part of Peter's boast was, even if everyone else denies you, I never will. And so this was somewhat of a loving, wise rebuke to Peter not to trust in himself. And yet what a gracious restoration and a commission that's given here. Peter, I'm not done with you. You failed me, but I've still got a work for you to do. Jesus' response to Peter's answers was one of acceptance. I accept you. I restore you, and I send you on a mission. Peter's repentance and restoration to in public here, this was done in front of his disciples after they had eaten breakfast. And again, kind of adds to Peter's embarrassment a little bit. And yet it was necessary, because also with the public rebuke and reminder, there was a public restoration so that the rest of the disciples knew Peter has a job to do. I've sent him to do it. So again, we see such grace, such wisdom, even in the correction of the Lord. And I have found that true in my life. When the correction of the Lord comes, it's not condemnation. It is necessary, and sometimes it stings, and sometimes it's embarrassing. Nobody likes to be told they're wrong. But when it's done with such love and grace, and then the ability to do what's right, that's the grace of God. But it's the commission that we want to consider this morning. Feed and tend to my sheep. Jesus uses several different terms here, both when he says, Do you love me? And Peter uses a different word in response, knowing that his love hasn't quite matched the love of Jesus for him. He acknowledges that. But then also he uses terms feed and tend. The feed means to nourish. Tend means to pasture, to guard, to govern my sheep. He uses a couple of different terms, lambs, the little ones. Feed the little ones. They're important too. And then he also uses another term that just kind of includes all ages, older ones, middle-aged, teenagers. In other words, feed all of my people. The people of God are spiritual sheep. We are spiritual sheep, and there's a number of lessons we can learn from that analogy. But the one we're focusing on, we need to eat. We need spiritual food. We're spiritual sheep, but we need spiritual food to grow and to be strong and to be healthy and to mature. And so that is what we want to consider this morning. What is the spiritual food that makes us, as Christians, spiritually strong and healthy and to enjoy all that God wants us to enjoy? As we continue this series of lessons on the analogies of the Word of God and its value and its importance, we see that the Bible is compared to a number of different kinds of food. So we want to look at those different kinds of foods that are given to us as an analogy, a comparison. Because each of these types of food, they represent different development, different stages of spiritual growth. The foods that we'll look at here that are described for us in the Word of God is the Word of God is like milk, it's like bread, it's like solid food or meat, and it's like honey. So we'll briefly look at each one of these kinds of food and see how those characteristics of those natural foods, how they correspond to certain aspects of the Word of God, what the Bible, its instructions do for us spiritually. Jesus recognized different spiritual ages when he was talking to Peter, feed my little ones, feed my adults, feed all of my people, no matter what age they are. And that is not only physical age, but also spiritual age. When an adult comes to know Jesus Christ, they are a babe in Christ. They're starting from the beginning, understanding what they need to be and what they need in order to be all that God wants them to be. So anyone that is in charge, a pastor, myself, anyone who teaches or anyone who encourages others in the ways of the Lord, you need to recognize where they are spiritually. I've seen a lot of well-meaning but not very wise older Christians try to force-feed deeper truths to those that are just saved. And they choke them, just like you don't give steak to a baby. There's a process. Now, in the spiritual realm, I believe that it is possible and God's will that we develop and grow very quickly in the spiritual realm. We don't have to wait 18 years in order to be spiritually mature. But there is a process, and there is a need for us to grow. And we never exhaust our desire or our need for the basics of the gospel. It's not that we drink in the milk of the Word of God and then we never need it again after we grow. No, I still have a glass of milk every morning. I like my milk, but I eat more than that now. But you have to start out with the beginning. Let's go to 1 Peter 2, the milk of the Word. Notice that in this passage, the term milk is not used in a negative sense at all. A lot of times when we talk about the milk of the Word, we say, well, that's a bad thing. No, it's not. Babies need milk. And the same is true in the spiritual realm. And this is what Peter says in 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, all of those things will be detrimental to your spiritual growth. Put it aside. Those belong to the flesh. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So here we see it's a positive thing. In the natural, infants need milk to receive the nourishment that's going to cause them to grow physically, to develop. Their tiny little delicate digestive systems can't break down anything else. They need that simple milk that a baby needs. And they say, the experts say, that mother's milk is better because it passes on some antibodies from the mother that protect that child. And that's what the Word of God does. When a new believer accepts Christ as their Savior, they need to desire and to be given the milk of the Word of God, the basics of the Word of God that's going to protect them, inoculate them against error. And we can go to Ephesians 2, 8 to 10 to see one of those milk doctrines that those that are newly converted need to be established in. Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 10. They need to learn about the salvation that they just received. They don't understand everything. And this is true whether they are a child. I was saved at 5 years old, and that was certainly my biological development stage. I was a child. But obviously, at that point, I also became a spiritual child. For some, it's later in adulthood that they become a spiritual child. But the process is still the same. You need to be established on these fundamental, essential doctrines concerning your salvation. Or otherwise, you're going to become sick. You need the antibodies that are built into this spiritual truth that's found in Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The salvation that the newly born child of God receives is eternal. And they need to be taught that. They need to be fed that this is what you have received, not because you deserved it, not because of anything you did, but because of what Jesus did on the cross. You are eternally a child of God, and that will never change. That's the milk of the Word. That's the very basics. Because if you're not settled on that, do you see how you're not going to grow spiritually? How are you going to learn to sacrifice for the Lord, or to understand how that when you do fall short, that you can get back up and go on in the will of the Lord and do what he wants you to do. Just like Peter. If Peter thought the Lord was done with him because he denied him three times, can you imagine how Peter would just walk away dejected and he'd live the rest of his life in condemnation and guilt? He needed the milk of the word. Feed my little lambs with what now you know. Feed the little lambs. There are many other milk doctrines. That'd be a whole lesson in itself, the two natures. To understand why a new Christian who's received a new life, why do you still have some of those old desires? You thought they would just be gone. Why do I still want to do what I used to do sometimes? Sometimes without thinking about it, I just do it. So, why? Well, you have two natures. It's the milk of the word. You need those basics. Feed my little lambs. A bottle of milk can comfort and satisfy a cranky baby who thinks everything revolves around them. And guess what? For a while it does. And you need to be patient with new believers. Sometimes they're going to throw fits. And you need to tend to them. Give them the milk of the word. A lot of new Christians, they enjoy hearing the parts of the Bible that talks about all that God does for us. And that's good. I rejoice in that. I like reading those passages. I still like milk. But at some point, you've got to grow past that. It's not all about you. And a lot of Christians, when it's not about them, they kind of throw a cranky fit. They need a bottle. It's good to start out that way. It's necessary to start out that way. But at some point, we need to allow that milk now to be the foundation for us to begin to grow spiritually. 1 Corinthians 3. Here, Paul, in this passage, 1 Corinthians 3, 1 and 2, Paul speaks of the milk of the word in a negative sense. But it's because these saints should have had more than enough time to develop a taste for deeper truths. That it's not just about what God does for you. Thank God for that. Rejoice in that. But there's more. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 and 2. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, that is, mature, grown people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I feed you with milk and not with solid food or meat, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. So this is a rebuke. Notice that Peter's was not a rebuke, it was a desire, the sincere, pure milk of the Word of God. It's good, it's what you need. Paul's not contradicting that at all. He's simply saying, now there's a different stage of development you should have already been into. And this describes the vast majority of God's people. They like the milk to know they're saved. They're going to heaven. They like to know that they can pray to God, that he can help them in situations. They love that part, but they never go on to the deeper things. The next step we see is bread. Deuteronomy 8:3. That leads us to this next analogy. What is the next step of development? What's the food we need now? Bread. In Deuteronomy 8:3, God says, so he humbled you, Moses tells the people of God. God humbled you, allowed you to hunger and feed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. In other words, natural bread is necessary for life, the nourishment that it gives for that next development, stage of development. But the spiritual bread, our spiritual food, is far more important than even the natural food that we eat, because our spiritual life and health and condition is eternal, has eternal consequences and benefits, and it impacts every other aspect of our existence, including our natural life. The reason that the natural lives of many of God's people are not characterized by joy and peace is because they're spiritually sick. They're unhealthy. They're not developed because they're undernourished. They need the Word of God. One of the first table foods that we give our children is what? Bread. We let them gnaw on it with their little gums. They like it. That has been for all of humanity. It has, throughout history, been the staple of diets. And therefore, bread is often just the symbol of life itself. It has become the symbol of life, the bread of life. Give us this daily bread. When Jesus prayed that, what was he saying? Give us the food that we need to live, this natural life. But God's word is more important than even your next meal. Now, before I'm done, some of your stomachs may start growling a little bit. But the word that you hear and that you read and that you hide in your heart has more value than your next meal. It'll give you that spiritual strength that has eternal benefits and prosperity. John 6:63. This stage of life, when you begin to desire the bread, it has the thought of knowing that you begin to know what you need and where to find it. How many have had little toddlers that when they know they're hungry, now they used to just lay in the crib and cry. When they begin to grow a little bit, they get into the refrigerator or the bread box or wherever they begin to seek out. I'm hungry. I want this. And then there are the teenage boys. Those that have dealt with teenage boys, do they know how to open a refrigerator? They become food vacuums. They know what they want, and they know where to get it. They've grown a little bit. Now, they don't stop and think about the grocery bill, but they've grown some where they know what they need and where to get it. That's what we need to do as Christians. Know what I need. I've got a problem. Where do I need to go? The Word of God. I don't need the preacher to tell me every little step I need to take. I need to go to the Bible. I need to go to the Word of God. And I know where to get it. I'm hungry. That's what we need to develop as a child of God. John 6:63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. That is, they will give you understanding. The word is spirit. That means it will give you the understanding you need for that situation and that circumstance. And as you grow spiritually, you know you'll find it in the Word of God. What I need is here. And I go looking for it. I go looking for the bread. Psalm 119:20. These are the desires we need to have for the Word of God, to understand this is our spiritual food. This is my strength, my stability, my joy, my peace, my everything. Psalm 119:20. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. I'm hungry. Jump down to verse 131, same psalm. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Is that how you look at the Word of God? Is that your attitude towards the Bible? So many Christians dread even reading the Bible because they're still laying in their crib, throwing a fit, wanting somebody to feed them. They want a bottle. No, you need to get up and go in search of the bread that you need to grow. That'll lead you to the solid meat of the Word of God. Hebrews 5. This will develop your desire to know even the deeper things of God, not just what God can do for you, that pure milk of the Word of God that we can still enjoy all the way through our spiritual development. But the meat of the Word goes beyond what God can do for me and what my responsibility is in response to His love for me. The meat of the Word of God has to do with sacrifice and service and what the Word of God tells me is to be my sacrifice, to be my service. It encompasses the prophetic word of God that causes me to know what God's plan is for humanity. Not just that I'm saved and going to heaven, glorious truth that is, but that God has a plan for the gospel to be proclaimed for whosoever will, that they might hear and have the opportunity to accept or reject His grace. And that message has been given to me. It's been given to you. That's the deeper truth of the Word of God. As a teenager begins to grow, hopefully parents over the years have been given more and more responsibilities to that child. Sadly, too many children grow up, and then when it comes time for them to enter into adulthood, they've never had any responsibility. There's never been any accountability. They were spoiled rotten as kids. And they're spoiled rotten as adults. Look at our society. That's where we are. But sadly, that's the way it is with a lot of God's children. They never grow up to take their responsibility. To know that God has a plan for humanity. That God has a plan for the nation of Israel. That God has a plan for the church. That Jesus is coming again. All of these things are the meat of the Word of God. The deeper things of God. And the writer of Hebrews in chapter 5, verses 11 to 14, he speaks about that, those deeper truths, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain since you are dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk, notice the clarification there, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of a full age, mature, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The reason so many Christians are characterized by carnality and disobedience is because they've never learned to take in and to desire the solid meat of the Word of God. May the Lord help us to desire the deeper things of God, to look, to understand more and more of God's will and purpose, not only for you, but through you and for others. Philippians 3 and verse 10, here's a deeper truth, one that takes a little time to develop. Now, there are some things that as a kid I wouldn't even touch. Never ate broccoli, never ate cauliflower. They're kind of ugly looking, and they taste a little funny, and the texture of them I just didn't like. But I eat those things now, number one, because I knew that they were good for me, and I thought, well, I'll try it. Now, I still don't like them cooked, but I like them raw. I'll eat those things raw. And believe it or not, as a kid growing up, I never liked steak. I won't tell you why, in case the Lord tells my mama. But I went out as an adult, and people were ordering steak, and I see it was the most expensive thing on the menu, and I thought, why would anybody pay that money for that thing that I don't like? And then one day I tried it anyway. Guess what? I like steak. Real steak. You develop a taste. And that's true with the Word of God. That's why a lot of people, they don't like Bible studies. It's not exciting. We like to jump around. We like to sing. We like to do this and don't like to do that. And in and of themselves, those things may not be bad, certainly. But just to sit and to take in the Word of God, I don't like that. We need to develop a taste for it. And then you'll find out, just like I did with steak. Now, if I don't get steak at least once a week, I think I'm starving. And when you begin to develop a taste for the deeper things of God as a Christian, you'll find out that when you're not being fed the deeper things of God, you feel like you're starving. Oh, you like the milk of the Word, and you're glad other people are taking it in, and some people are at that babe stage, and that's good for them. But if you're not taking in these deeper truths, you almost feel like you're starving, don't you? Philippians 3:10. Here's one that people have to develop a taste for. Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. What? Why would I want that? Being conformed to his death, the death of the cross, that is complete, unconditional surrender to the will of the Father. That's what the cross was for Jesus. That's what God's calling you to. Do you see the different stage? A baby crying, it's all about him. What I want, feed me. To one who's willing to suffer to do the will of the Father. And the strength to do that is found in the Word of God that tells us that the sufferings of this present time, they're not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. The Word of God tells us that all these things that are considered suffering, they're working for us, not against us. That's what the meat of the Word of God does for you. It gives you that strength to even desire and to go through suffering if it's in the will of God. Now, don't misunderstand me. I don't want one bit more of suffering than what is the will of the Lord for me. I don't like suffering. But in the will of God, I find strength in the Word of God to endure to the end, to endure and let patience have its perfect work. Those are the deeper truths, the meat of the Word of God. We need to exercise that. Well, let's close with something sweet. The Word of God is like honey. Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verses 8 through 10. Psalm 19, verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The sweetness of the Word of God is good at any level of spiritual maturity. Nothing is like a good dessert that satisfies and brings a smile to your face. After my steak, I don't mind a little apple pie a la mode. It's sweet, tastes good, it's refreshing. That's the way it is with the Word of God. It's pure like honey and wholesome. It's a sweetness, but it's pure and it's wholesome, just like honey. The Word of God has power to warm you. Have you ever just read a passage of Scripture and just kind of a wave of peace came over you? kind of similar when you're eating your dessert and, man, that's good. Have you ever read a passage of Scripture and that the sweetness of it just sweeps over you? That's the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 103. Psalm 119, verse 103. How sweet are the words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. The word is sweet because it's true. The young people, I don't know whether they still use it, I can't keep up. But young people used to say when something was really nice and desirable, sweet. See my new car? Sweet. Something good and valuable and desirable. That's the word of God. It's sweet. Let's close with Proverbs 24, 13 and 14. Proverbs 24, 13. My son, eat honey because it's good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to your taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be to your soul. The word of God gives that wisdom, that knowledge. If you have found it, there is a prospect, and your hope will not be cut off. The word of God is sweet because it's rewarding, it's good, it's beneficial, it's valuable. May we learn to take in the word of God. No matter what stage you're in your spiritual growth, begin to desire all of these different foods that minister to different stages of development in the life of the Christian. And I believe that God can do a quick work in someone who comes to know Jesus Christ. They need that foundation milk, but they can lay hold of that quickly. And then they can go on to the bread, knowing that, well, I need to go to the Bible, see what it says. I need to search it out. Then to the meat, the solid food of the Word of God. And then always, in all of those stages, enjoy the sweetness of the Word of God. Well, let's have a song in closing.